Yeah. Hello.
Oh, hi there.
Hello, Dr. Lively.
Welcome here
to the St. Patrick's Day broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial.
Thank you so much, Bill.
I know you've just gotten back to Springfield after a long drive. Did everything go well?
It did, yeah. I just woke up from a little nap after a very invigorating march, and I'm feeling good.
Very good. Well, everybody wants to get your thoughts on the day. I know it was pretty blustery out. You know, temperatures around 30 degrees.
Yes, it was. That was a little challenging dealing with the cold weather and the wind. That was difficult. But everybody was in high spirits. It was really a good event. Very well attended. The sidewalks were just jammed with people along the parade route, and they were very appreciative of the fact that the parade went forward, and I think appreciative that it wasn't that the parade organizers had not capitulated to the bullies.
Right. Well,
trying to force their way in.
I know that you and your lieutenant governor, could we have her name again that marched with you?
Shelley Saunders.
Shelley Saunders, how did she feel about the event?
Oh, she was just very happy. We both enjoyed ourselves very much. We had a small contingent and of supporters, and we were well received by the crowd. Had a good chance. We're the only mixed race pair running in the gubernatorial contest this year. She's African American, and she's an African American Democrat, and I'm a white Republican conservative.
Well, that's quite a combination.
She's conservative too. Yeah.
And is she in the Springfield area also?
Yes, yes she is. And she had a great time too. And we were both very pleased to have had a chance to do this.
Well, I saw you both dancing to the band playing Sweet Caroline right behind us.
I know.
That song can really get you. They play that at the Red
Sox.
That's a song they play at the Red Sox games, and it gets everybody in the eighth inning singing and into a good spirit.
Well, it's nice to be marching right ahead of a marching band.
Yeah, that was a very good
provides a good rhythm.
Right. And you had a chance to go back and forth and meet some of the parade watchers.
That's true. Quite a few people shaking hands and passing out campaign literature. Letting people know how they can get more information at livelyforgovernor.com.
Right.
So it was well worth it. I hadn't planned to attend the parade. I live here in Springfield, you know, a fair distance from Boston, and was actually planning to do my normal Sunday routine, preaching at my church. And we actually had a send-off for a young man that we were going to be holding. So I only decided to go after I heard that the Boston Globe was gloating that none of the gubernatorial candidates were going to march in the parade this year, and implying that it was because of the their refusal to allow homosexual groups to march, promoting their agenda in the parade. And at that point, I thought, well, you know, I had been thinking about this the wrong way. Instead of thinking about it in terms of what it could do for me, I thought, well, you know, these guys need support, and they shouldn't be left out to dry by pro-family candidate like myself. So I'm going to go down there and show support for them, for standing up for family values, with
right.
courage, as so few in this country do anymore.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate that, and they'll want you to come back next year as the governor.
I would be very pleased to do that, yes.
We did have some of the local politicians decide to run. We had a U.S. congressman here in this area. You know, I live on the parade route. I have a condominium right on the main street of the parade. And the congressman is only about a block away from me, and he did. We were thinking he wouldn't march, but he did, and as did the local state rep and the one of the members of the Boston City Council. As far as I know, they were those were the elected officials that marched. We did have some candidates such as yourself, and you were behind the candidate for sheriff.
Yes, Bennett, yeah.
Right, yeah. He's kind of a new candidate in the area. He has run before, but I don't know of any others. I'll be getting some more reports and get back to you on any others that may have participated. But basically, I think because there weren't so many, I think you were able to get some mileage from the parade as far as becoming known as an independent candidate for the office, and the
uh-huh.
others probably would not score many points because they did not decide to participate.
Well, you know, people are not inspired by cowardice.
Right. That's right.
That's just it's axiomatic. And the only way these bullies actually are able to prevail is when people don't stand up to them. It's when everyone starts being stampeded that the public gets a sense of the inevitability of the bullies dominating everything, and they sort of give up. So standing up to them is essential for preserving basic fundamental values in our society.
Yes, what was it Edmund Burke said, that evil triumphs when good men do nothing?
That's right. Edmund Burke's a great British statesman. Many, many powerful, pithy quotes that we use of his.
Right. Well, I want to give the call-in number again. It's 914-803-4379, and please call in and talk to Dr. Lively about the parade and the other issues that we have on the table. A big one that I mentioned I'd like to discuss is the Thursday night event that you were originally invited to the gubernatorial debate at Harvard Law School. And then the organizers of that retracted the invitation, which caused a lot of us to contact the organizers. I don't know if you've gotten any feedback on how many people called them and emailed them about the fact that they should not have done that. And maybe you can tell us.
Didn't get any indication of how many people called in to challenge them on their.
Well, do you have any thoughts as to why they changed their mind?
No. Well, I assume that it was because they were, challenged on that, on their cowardice. Also, I mean, this is once again, this is about bullies. The LGBT community are the worst bullies in our society. Anyone who dares to say anything about homosexuality, even if they just whisper, marriage is between a man and a woman,
right.
They're instantly targeted for complete and total destruction. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, businesses are bankrupted, careers are destroyed, families are terrorized. Because there are people who disagree with them. And
you said this, from Anita Bryant up to Phil Robertson, right?
That's right. From right all the way, Anita Bryant was the late 1970s, and when she stood up to say that homosexuality was wrong, they destroyed her. And they never stopped. They just kept pounding and pounding and pounding, and until they got her knocked out of sponsorship, or her she was doing endorsements and things at that point.
Yeah, the oranges, the orange juice, and
right. They used every bit of leverage that they could, pressure, and then they wrecked her career. And they've done that to person after person after person, just for disagreeing with them.
Do you remember that scene when they when she was visibly attacked by one of them who threw a pie in her face?
Yeah, no, you know, this is right, and they pretend that this is just harmlessness. You know, they're just throwing a pie, you know, like a clown on the stage.
Like,
but they know exactly what they're doing, and it's just bullying tactics.
By the way, she is still running a ministry herself out in the western state, I think Oklahoma.
Really? I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah.
That's wonderful.
I'll send you her the details on that.
She's an icon, really, of the struggle, the resistance to the homosexual juggernaut. But, you know, she was really the first first major figure to be taken down, but there's nobody. In fact, I challenge people when I do debates to name a single public figure in the past decade who has not been targeted for destruction by the gays for saying anything that they disagree with. No, you can't name one.
Right.
It's everybody, and they don't stop. And there's no proportionality. If you say something against our agenda, even the idea that homosexuality is wrong or marriage is between a man and a woman, we are going to destroy you. And they revel in it. They have this triumphal attitude, you know, in their communications, the emails that they put out, mocking, ridiculing people, you know. And then anyone who compromises try to accommodate them, like the Boy Scouts of America. Last year, the Boy Scouts, after even having a U.S. Supreme Court ruling granting them the right to exclude homosexuality from the organization, they caved to the demands of the homosexual activists by letting homosexual
members,
youth, right, or at least I don't even like to grant that that's a young people who identify as homosexual, to openly identify that.
That did result in a split off of the new organization called Trail Life USA,
which is predictable. It's gonna it hurt the Boy Scout organization tremendously. There's gonna be further damage to the organization, and in the end, it did nothing to placate the activists. Nothing.
Right.
In fact, they're implacable. They don't care that you are trying to accommodate their demands. Nothing except absolute 100% surrender. In which they dominate you, basically standing on your throat, pounding their chest. Anything short of that is insufficient.
Right.
And that's what we're facing. That's the spirit. It's the spirit of this movement. It's
and
the
our
same
religious,
spirit.
Our religious leaders, such as yourself, have a. That's the function, is to speak out on matters of morality, and they even. The chaplains in the military, and I would imagine you know about more on this, that they are even saying that they can't speak on matters of morality, even possibly within the church.
Yeah, it's they've reached a level of really of absurdity in wherever they've taken power, they consolidate their power and they drive out anyone that disagrees with them. But they do it slowly and incrementally, as in the more conservative institutions. But that's what they do, and it's like I was starting to say, the spirit of this movement is the same spirit that you see in the Bible, in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the when the two angels came to rescue Lot's family, it's the Bible says that all the men of the city, young and old, from every corner, came to basically to rape these two men.
Right, and, I remember that.
And that even when they're struck blind, they don't stop clawing and scraping at the door in order to
right.
get a hold of two men. That
right.
is the spirit that you see just in the same instance here with the Boston Parade, the St. Patty's Day Parade. It doesn't matter that there's a Supreme Court ruling that says that the parade organizers have the right to decide who can march with them. It doesn't matter that they have any parade, any other organization. They go anywhere else they want. They can have their own parade if they want to. They could do all these things. None of those things matter. It only matters that this group is not going to let homosexuals dominate the parade culture and the entire world that they've already gotten under their control now is turned against the parade organizers and pressure brought to bear against the sponsors and the, you know, even the mayor of Boston, you know, threatening the parade organizers and, you know, insisting I'm going to be there with LGBT protest signs and you better not get in my way.
Right.
You know, this is it's just, it's brown shirt tactics.
Right. And I think, the people are starting to see it now more clearly. And, what is the scriptural passage that we must overcome evil with good?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
So that's the antidote, is it? Is it the word they use?
Yeah, I think so. That's that. You know, the only thing that you can that will defeat falsehood is truth,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that will defeat bullying is courage, and
right.
that is in short supply these days. And I think that's why we all of us need to be measuring our candidates by the courage that they show in standing up
right.
on this particular issue. It doesn't help to be strong on issues where there's no controversy, or
right.
where you know you have a majority view on your side. You know, it's just pandering to the constituency that you know that you already, you know, can prevail with. It's
right.
when you stand for principle against bullies like these that want to prevent anyone from being able to articulate a biblical worldview. That's like
exactly.
the same thing with Harvard. But the Harvard debate, I was in.
Yeah, I'd
I
like
was,
you to talk about that as
the
I
last moment.
See the clock running. I would want you to talk about the Harvard debate in the last segment here.
I got called the morning of the debate. It was on the 13th, and it was about 11 o'clock or so in the morning, and I got a call from the organizer of the debate saying that they wanted to re-invite me to the debate, and which I was very surprised, but pleased, and so I immediately agreed, and I changed my schedule around and managed to get down there. And,
okay, doctor, I got a call in that I'm going to see who's calling us here.
Okay,
so
all right.
Hold on. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Scott Lively. Who is this?
Hello, this is Bill.
Hello, yes?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yep, you're on the air with Dr. Scott Lively. Yes.
That's great. He's a hero in this day and the other night for standing up to the homofascist bullies at Harvard who probably only invited him at the last minute so that they had the cadre to, you know, humiliate and deride him, although I'm sure he was not humiliated with his strength of character, which is the two questions that I had, and if I can.
Yes, he's
for Dr.
with
Lively.
Us. He is with us, right?
Yes. Wonderful. Hi, Dr. Lively, and thank you again for your courageous leadership, because that's as much as anything what it requires in this no question, it's a full-fledged war. There can be no doubt.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Yes, it is.
It's the tactics of the other side, as you correctly assess, is take no prisoners, and you know, brook no
dissent.
No
yeah,
Lee.
Right.
So how do we think? My concern is all the courage in the world doesn't prevail without the right tactics and the right tools. And we just, I firmly believe, as others do, and as you probably saw today, that the other side is still only 2%. They're a vocal and violent 2%, if that, but they are there, and our side, the as far as I'm concerned, the correct side, the logical side, and it has to prevail, and it has to be done with the right tactics, and we need to educate people, and we need to use the language that they have used to succeed. We need to be able to point out, you know, clearly, when they're talking about a conversation, it's not about a conversation. It's about, as you exactly pointed out, capitulation, and they'll accept and brook no other. And when they talk about bigotry, somehow it needs to be made clear that the bigotry and the fascism and the all those things is strictly speaking coming from the other side. Now, that's a conversation that the media and, as you suggest, the cowards in a lot of the in this discussion will not tolerate, because they're so frightened of just being bashed and brutalized and intimidated and bankrupted. But
okay,
that can't
happen. Excuse me, I'm getting word that time is running out, so maybe
so can
Dr.
I hear
Lively
those?
Can comment on that. And
what's your you
my question is
question?
How do you where do you get your courage? I'm sure it's constitutional. It's part of your character, but how can people, you know, frame it for themselves, to shore themselves up, to take on the task? And what kinds of tactics and in what venues can we help educate and rouse the troops, if you will? You are the leader.
We have less than a minute.
It's not Charlie Baker, that's for sure.
Let me respond to that and just say that the tactic and the solution is a biblical worldview articulated without compromise. This we are in a contest and a war between cultural Marxism and Christianity. Yeah. That's what's really going on here. And the only tactic we really need in order to win is to restore the biblical worldview among those who share a biblical background, and to not compromise on those things, to stop trying to secularize.
Okay,
our
we got to cut it there, Doctor. I appreciate it, and we need more time. We'll do this again. I appreciate you for calling in from Marblehead, I guess. All right.
Up Marblehead. Thank you, Dr. Lively. It was such an encouraging thing to have you take the lead, and hopefully we can turn this trend around. It has to happen.
Thank you so much. God bless both of you all.
God bless you.
Thank you, and have a happy St. Patrick's Day. We'll be back in touch with you later.
Okay, thanks, Bill. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.